This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to another interview by Nation Talk. This is Nick Ashwasega. Today we're being joined by Mark Romoff, the President and CEO of the Canadian Council for Public-Private Partnerships. Today we're going to be focusing on the importance of public-private partnerships, but also CCPPP's 22nd Annual National Conference taking place November 3rd and 4th at the Sheraton Centre Toronto Hotel, downtown Toronto. But first off, how are you doing today, Mark?
I'm just great, Nick. In fact, I'm really pumped with just 11 days to go to our conference.
Definitely. Well, we'll make sure to get our listeners all the good information, and I think that's a good spot for us to start. Maybe you can tell them more about the upcoming conference and, you know, why they should make sure to have this thing marked on the calendar.
Well, as you mentioned, it's our 22nd annual conference, and what we're particularly proud of is that this event is recognized internationally as the premier gathering of the public-private partnership community worldwide. We're going to have 1,200 people in Toronto for the conference, and I'm really pleased that we've got great keynote speakers. We've got Joe Oliver, who's Canada's Minister of Finance, Steve Paulus, who's the Governor of the Bank of Canada, Kathleen Wynne, of course, Premier of Ontario, and Justin Trudeau, the leader of the Liberal Party of Canada. So it's quite a good group of folks to anchor the conference. At the same time, we're really excited about the progress being made in Aboriginal communities when it comes to P3s. As you know, we had P3 Canada fund its first Aboriginal project ever just recently, and we know the interest is building for other communities to access both that fund and to use the model going forward. So this conference, I think, will keep the momentum going and ensure that those that are going to be with us know that Aboriginal communities are really strongly willing to partner and ready to build their infrastructure going forward.
Well, that definitely brings me to my next point. Which session is going to be focusing on the role Aboriginal people and communities play in P3? I know there is a specific session, and maybe you can touch upon the role a little bit more as well, too, that Aboriginal people can play and take advantage of.
Sure. We've got a session this year which we've called Collaborating with Canada's Aboriginal Communities, and that particular panel will dedicate itself to examining the roles that P3s can play in Aboriginal communities. It's a really interesting panel. We've got Gary Ullstrom, who you may know is the Senior Financial Officer at the Namgis First Nation, and Namgis is the first Aboriginal community to receive PPP Canada funding for its Kokish Hydroelectric Project, so that's exciting. And we've got John Paul, who is the Executive Director of the Atlantic Policy Congress. As you probably know, APC is putting together a proposal for bundling water and wastewater projects in First Nation communities in the Atlantic and is working with PPP Canada to enable this project to go forward. Then we've got Jack Mitten. He's the Senior VP at Capstone Infrastructure. This is a really interesting guy. Capstone recently closed a financial agreement with the Gulais Wind Farm with Batchewana First Nation, which is really a unique equity financing arrangement that will give significant ownership stake to the First Nation. And though not exactly a P3, it really could be a model used in future for P3 projects involving Aboriginal partners. We've also got Greg Smith, who's the Chief Financial Officer at PPP Canada. And as you probably know, PPP Canada is committed to making their P3 Canada Fund more accessible to Aboriginal communities, and Greg will be talking just about that when he's on the panel. And then we've got Harold Kalla to moderate it, and as you probably know, Harold's the Executive Chair of the First Nations Financial Management Board, member of the Squamish First Nation, and actually a former board member of Partnerships BC. So he knows the P3 industry, he understands the barriers facing Aboriginal communities, and I think he'll bring a wealth of experience to the session. At the same time, there are a whole bunch of other sessions and speeches that will appeal to the Aboriginal community and those that are in the audience. We have a session on bundling projects, one on making infrastructure dollars go further, and one looking at emergency management infrastructure, pretty timely in view of the events over the last couple of days. And our keynotes, as I mentioned, will be of interest to all participants. So we've got quite a great program there.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you really truly have a who's who, not only from the non-Aboriginal, but from the Aboriginal side of things. So, you know, listeners, November 3rd and 4th is coming up fast, but that's more than enough reason to mark that down on the calendar and make sure you're at the Sheraton Centre. Again, that's going to be at the Sheraton Centre Toronto Hotel. But before we go any further, I just want to make sure to get more information to those listeners catching this online, both and also on the radio. To register actually for the conference, you can go to www.p3-2014.ca and find more information there. And again, of course, make sure to get your registration done right away. And just in general, you can find more information at www.pppcouncil.ca. And for those catching this online, though, you'll be lucky enough to find some links below. But now, I'd like to touch upon, you know, a couple more, you know, nitty-gritty aspects, I guess, would be the easiest way to put it. You touched upon barriers a little bit there and how they're actually going to be covered at this session. What kind of barriers are there currently for entry into the Aboriginal P3 market?
Well, that's a good question. We know that Aboriginal communities want to be involved in all aspects of projects that affect their communities, but ownership in projects has often been a bit elusive because there can be barriers to accessing capital. But our experience has been is that there is an enormous amount of interested capital around for the right kinds of projects. And the example of Capstone Infrastructure I mentioned a few minutes ago that is involved now in equity financing Aboriginal projects is a good case in point. Some of the other barriers, though, include the size of projects. So P3s have often been done in large, complex projects, yet almost every project, except for the occasional school project in a remote flying community, tends to be under $50 million. So we've got to be thinking through the P3 model a bit more and see how we can recalibrate it in order to be more responsive to projects of a smaller size. All that's doable, and people are thinking about that now. And I think that as we get more and more interest from the Aboriginal community in using the P3 model, that will really stimulate creative ways to use the processes that we have in place and to engage with the government at the federal and provincial level in order to ensure that the partnerships develop to really move the agenda ahead and advance the interests of Aboriginal communities.
Most definitely. And one thing, too, we can actually focus back on, you touched on a little bit at the start there. What are some of the successes you've seen, not only at CCPPP, but also for Aboriginal peoples and their communities with regard to the public-private partnerships?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say, and it's the really exciting thing, is that Canada is now seen as a world leader in P3s, and that's really due to our remarkable track record of success. We now have 219 projects across the country, Nick, and for those that are either under construction or now in operation, the value of those projects is more than $70 billion. So this is a big deal in Canada. And as I mentioned, Aboriginal communities are starting to take advantage of the opportunity. So the NAMGAS project, which just accessed P3 Canada funding, and the Osoyoos First Nation project, they're home to the construction of a new BC correctional facility, that both of these are going ahead as P3s. So slowly but surely, Aboriginal communities are looking at the P3 model, and I think you're going to see more and more success stories like that as these communities really focus on addressing their infrastructure challenges. So I'm really quite optimistic about the ways in which Aboriginal communities can engage, and the council, my council, is keenly interested in working with Aboriginal communities across the country to enable them to be successful in their efforts.
Well, with the Canadian Council for Public-Private Partnerships leading the way, definitely feel like success is a much sooner option. And for those listening and wanting to learn more, what is your advice to them?
Well, the simplest piece of advice is come to the conference. Check out our program, visit our website, you mentioned it already, pppcouncil.ca, or give us a call. We see ourselves as playing a role in bringing industry and government together, and that most definitely includes Aboriginal communities.
Well, there you go, listeners. And before we let you go, I just want to reiterate for those audience members who are now going to listen to this and go get their registration completed, you can go to www.pppcouncil.ca for more information on the council. But again, to register, you can go to www.p3-2014.ca/register now. So before we let you go, though, Mark, and get you back on your way to what I'm sure is a very busy day, some words of advice for the audience before we let you go.
Well, just before signing off, I'd like to point out that P3s are not going to be the solution for every infrastructure problem that communities have around the country. We know Aboriginal communities face an infrastructure deficit that far exceeds the gaps facing other communities in Canada. But P3s are one tool that we can use to start building the core infrastructure needed to make communities thrive. So things like schools, water and wastewater facilities, or sources of clean energy. So I'd encourage everyone to educate themselves on the topic and see whether P3s are right for your community. We want to ensure that the P3 success story reaches every part of our country, and we as a council are very committed to working closely with Aboriginal communities right across the country to ensure that they can be successful in their efforts to really make a difference for their communities.
Well, there you go, listeners. Make sure to check out more information because there could be something there for you or your community. Jimmy Gretsch.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.